I'm Pat Morrison. Maybe right now you're listening in your hybrid vehicle or your electric vehicle and you're zipping down the road and thinking, wow, this is great. Gas prices are really high. I don't have to pay that much, if anything at all. But wait, there's more. There is a paradox, because when you buy gasoline, that money goes into a highway trust fund that has been in existence for decades that maintains the nation's highways. Well, you may not be buying the gas, but you are still driving on those highways and they still need the maintenance. And so the fund is suffering, in part because the gas tax hasn't been raised for about 20 years, and in part because people are driving more fuel efficient vehicles. I want to hear from you about this paradox, what you think ought to be done. Congress has come up. The Republicans have got a big highway spending bill that would gut funding for Amtrak and end high-speed rail projects, but it wants more money in the highway system. How does that happen without raising the gas taxes, with people driving more efficiently? 866-893-5722. If you have a solution for this paradox, it's 866-893-KPCC. Let's hear first from Joshua Shank. He's the president and CEO of the Eno Center for Transportation. It's a nonprofit that's been around since Model T's, talking about improving transportation policy and leadership. He used to direct the National Transportation Policy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center as well. Thanks for being here.
Hey, welcome. Appreciate it.
So, Mr. Shank, this fund has been around since the Eisenhower administration, which was the administration that gave us the interstate highway system. And now, boy, it almost sounds like a victim of technological success.
Well, I'm not sure I would put it quite that way. I think that the biggest problem we're having with the trust fund at the moment is political rather than any kind of technological improvements. I mean, for sure, there have been improvements in mileage per gallon, and that has been hurting revenue. There's also been a dramatic drop-off in total amount of miles being traveled. That used to increase all the time, and now it's become stagnant. Those things are relevant, but it's more of a political problem than anything else. The trust fund is funded by the gas tax, and if we don't increase gas taxes on a regular basis and they're not indexed to inflation, then we lose purchasing power. And the bottom line is that this problem could be solved tomorrow if Congress had the political wherewithal to raise the gas tax to something approximating a more reasonable level on a national basis.
And certainly we've heard about that disconnect for a very long time, too. John Kerry, before the 2004 campaign, had talked about raising the gas tax by 50 cents a gallon to bring it more into line. Of course, when gas prices are above $4 a gallon, nobody really, really wants to hear that. Is it then just the political will that no one wants to say, yeah, I raised the gas tax?
Yeah, it's very tough to do. I mean, it's easy for us, since we're not in elected office, to sit there and analyze the data and say, well, obviously our gas tax is too low. But if you're actually running for office, it's hard to get out there when people are paying a lot for gas and saying, well, I need you to pay more because we can't afford to fix the roads. But the bottom line is that there are limited ways to pay for this. It is challenging to convince people to pay more for transportation on a national level. The gas tax is a particularly painful way to do it because it's so readily apparent. You're paying out-of-pocket costs for gas all the time. And if prices go up, you feel that pain in your pocketbook.
So until or unless Congress is willing to act, what's the status of this fund? Is it running on empty?
It is. It's already been bailed out twice with funds from general revenues, and that's going to have to happen again within the next year if Congress doesn't act to raise the gas tax, which most likely they're not. And the other alternative is they could cut funds, right? I mean, Congress intentionally spent more than they took in revenues. They knew they were doing that. They overextended the trust fund intentionally. So one thing they could do, of course, is cut the amount that they're spending. But that would have a dramatic impact as well. Thousands of people would be put out of work, and you would have a more rapid deterioration of our nation's infrastructure. So neither option is particularly palatable. When it comes to Congress, the best guess is that they'll always do the wrong thing, and they'll wait until the last second to do it. So the chances are that they'll continue to trickle along and hope that something resolves itself and nothing will, so they'll just keep bailing out the trust fund until somebody with real political skill comes along and says, here's a long-term solution to this problem, and gets a lot of folks on board with it.
Mr. Shank, if this were the Groucho Marx Show, I'd say you said the magic word, infrastructure. Barry LePatner joins us, the author of Too Big to Fall, America's Failing Infrastructure and the Way Forward. Thanks to you for being here.
My pleasure, Pat.
So we hear about the consequences from Mr. Shank. This fund is running on empty, and not only the state of jobs of people who keep the highways in repair, but the highways themselves could fall into, well, let's say it's sort of like L.A. Pothole Central.
Well, the numbers are so staggering as to be far beyond the average taxpayer's ability to get their hands, arms, and minds around, but even more so because we need to change the national conversation in Washington dramatically. Politicians run from this subject, and the numbers are shown by various studies. We have been shown to need between $132 and $194 billion dollars per year if we only want to maintain our transportation
system. Wait, let me get this. $132 to $194 billion,
dollars per year.
In other words,
a period of several years.
Wow.
If we want to maintain it from falling apart.
Not even expand it. Just keep it going.
If we want to just improve it, that number goes to $250 million a year. So it's a staggering number.
Now, what does that work out to? If you look at how much gas the average American buys now, how much would you have to raise the gas tax to meet that cost?
Well, understand that and the reason why continuing the federal gas tax in its current posture is unworkable, we have to understand the following. Right now, a 1%, 1 cent a gallon increase, and we tax, people should understand, we tax it per gallon, not by how much miles some people use as opposed to other people. A 1 cent a gallon increase only generates $1.8 billion annually in revenue. When we talk about the gas tax, which has not been raised in 20 years since the administration of President Clinton, we are talking about something which is a free fall. Just recently, I think it was this summer, the auto industry agreed that by 2025, they're going to achieve 50 miles per gallon in cars manufactured for sale in this country.
I'm sorry, how much per gallon?
50 miles per gallon.
That's the figure that John Kerry put out then.
That's fabulous, okay? And then you realize we're going to have electric cars, hybrid cars. So the number of gallons that we're going to drive as opposed to the number of miles being driven is going to continue to drop. Because of the recession we have now, which is going to be here for a while, the number of miles being driven by the traveling public are going down dramatically, and ergo, the federal gas tax is clearly not going to be in a position to support the amount of money we need for our transportation needs.
866-893-5722. Would you pay more in gas tax? It might be as much as 50 cents a gallon if you were going to keep the highways, the federal highway system, in repair. But there's the paradox. People driving fewer miles as the economy is bad. So it's like fewer people would have to pay more just to keep the fund where it is, which is very near zero. And if you don't, what happens to that highway system on which so much of commerce is based? 866-893-KPCC. Richard in Santa Monica calling. Go ahead, Richard.
Hi. We're going through a demographic shift right now where 8 to 10,000 people are retiring every day. So it stands to reason that we have passed peak driving. So why is it preferential to now try to keep the current system at its current level? Wouldn't it be a greater good if we are, in fact, driving fewer miles and are likely to continue to drive fewer miles, that maybe that system needs to shrink?
Richard in Santa Monica, thank you. And I guess, Joshua Shank, that's a philosophical question, that it's time to retrench, to say, highways, you served us well while we had them, but let's try moving into another system, another way of getting around.
Well, there are two problems with that. First of all, the gas tax currently funds not only highways, but mass transit. A portion of that money is dedicated to mass transit, and some of it's even given to bicycles and walking. So we're already trying to fund some of those modes, and funding for them is in jeopardy as well. But also, it's not as if you just build the road system and then it lasts forever. It takes almost as much money, if not more, to keep it in a state of good repair, to keep it operating at a highly functional level. So unless we were to start closing down interstates and closing down major highways, which I think would be incredibly unrealistic and damaging to the economy, we're going to have to keep paying to maintain them.
And yet, Mr. Shank, when we put in the interstate highway system, railways that had been used for decades began to disappear in terms of their reach and their use. We saw it in Los Angeles. We saw it nationwide. That was a major shift, and here we are.
Absolutely. But the reason that shift occurred is that the highways that were provided a better level of service and faster transportation for people as compared to the railroads that existed prior to them. So if we came up with an alternative mode of transportation like teleportation that could replace highways, then absolutely.
Now you're talking.
We could do it.
Yeah. Beam us up. Let's see. Eric on the Pat Morrison page says, it's funny when gas prices go up, everyone gets so nervous. The solution is to keep gas prices high by eliminating subsidies, raise the gas tax, force us all to drive fewer miles, own more efficient cars. A long-term problem needs a long-term solution, something we may not be especially good at. Paul in Fullerton says, in Europe, gas is more expensive and Ford sells a fuel-efficient car, but sells only less fuel-efficient cars to the American market. And Eric again says, as far as cutting mass transit funds and Amtrak, it's a bad idea to cut mass transit when it's at an use of that transit is at an all-time high, maybe as an alternative during these bad times. Barry Lepatner, do you see anything, any major shift coming to public transit or anything other than the highway system we have now, even considering the bad state it's in financially?
Well, we're running towards a crisis of unprecedented proportions. Let me just address the caller who wanted to understand this shift from roadways to public transportation. The studies show that today the average American family spends over $8,600 a year on transportation, which is about a third more than the family spends on food per year. So transportation is a big ticket item. Also, because of the horrific condition of our roads, the average motorist spends over $400 a year on unwarranted repairs to their motor vehicle. And additionally, if you have two adult householders using public transportation instead of their cars, they save $6,250 a year. So is there advantages to public transportation? Absolutely.
Lepatner, we're going to have to leave it at that. Barry Lepatner is the author of Too Big to Fall, America's Failing Infrastructure and the Way Forward. Joshua Shank with the Eno Center for Transportation. What happens when all that gas tax money that pays to fix those freeways is gone? Now news headlines from Hetty Lynn Hurtis.